chapter 1. Please turn your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As this morning we conclude the Here and Now series that we've been engaged in here at Riverside, talking about living life for God's here and now, where we are and when we are. Because we have one life to live. This is our life that God has given us to live for His glory, and He's chosen for us to live that life here and now. This is our time, this is our moment, where we're at and where we are. And so, as I wrap up this series this week, I was trying to think, you know, whose life in Scripture, to me, exemplifies this idea of making the most of where you're at and making the time of what you've been given. And one name just kept on popping up into my head as I thought about his life, and that is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's life exemplified the here and now life. Paul was a man who understood the importance of engaging with the culture and the community where he was at. And Paul was a man who knew the importance of time and how to wisely use time. Now, if you're like me, sometimes when you read Bible stories and you read about Bible characters, it's easy to think about how incredible they were and how much faith they had. And so when I think about Paul, I think about all of his rich teachings in Scripture and all the letters that he wrote. And I think about all the wonderful evangelism he did and how he traveled all throughout Europe and in Asia just teaching and preaching the gospel. And I'm just intimidated by that and blown away by that. But what I love about Scripture as well is that in reading about Paul and his life, Scripture also shows that these men and women of God who we sometimes so want to put up on a shelf were men and women just like you and I. And they all had their struggles, and they all had their weaknesses, and they all wrestled with sin, and they all made bad choices, and none of them were perfect, except for our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul's pretty honest about his failings. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, Paul writes this letter to his protege Timothy, a young man in the faith. And he writes this letter to encourage Timothy, but as he begins it, he talks about himself, and in verse 12 he says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And look what Paul says. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. As you read Paul's letter and as you read Paul's words, we realize that everyone has acted ignorantly out of unbelief and needs to be saved from their sins. We are all sinners saved by the grace and mercy of a loving God. At one point in time in our life, we acted out of unbelief, we acted out of rebellion, we were covered in sin, and it's only because of the love, the incredible love of God and the mercy of God, sending Christ to die for us, that we are saved from our sins. It is a gift of grace and mercy from God. If you are a child of God, you have received His mercy and grace through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You have been saved by God through mercy and grace. But you weren't just saved from something, you were saved for something. You were saved for God's glory and to be an example of God's patience and mercy for those who have yet to believe. And the incredible story about some of your stories is how God has worked in your life, and people have seen how God has worked in your life, and it has changed their life as well. Because people have seen what you used to be and what you are now, they've seen the transformation in your life. And because they've seen your example of God's mercy and patience in your life, that has changed their life as well. And to God be all the glory for that. But in your life, as you've lived it, there have been people who have seen your walk and said, man, you talk differently than you used to talk. You act differently than you used to act. You don't do what you used to do. And you've had the opportunity to share with them why that is. And in sharing how you live and in sharing how you think and in sharing how you talk with them, it's changed their life as well. Several of us in here this morning have given our lives to Jesus Christ because we've seen God's mercy and patience in the life of someone else. It's made all the difference in our lives. We are walking testimony of God's mercy and grace and patience. You are saved to show God's love, mercy, and patience here and now. In your life, here and now, you are called to share God's mercy and patience. So, what's your here? You ever think about your here? Where are you? What are you doing? Paul understood the importance of here. Look at Acts 17, 22 through 28. Acts 17. Paul is on one of his missionary journeys, and he ends up in Greece. In verse 22, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. And so Paul stands in front of this crowd and in this place where he's speaking, and he calls out, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Well, how does Paul know this? You see, for Paul, his here was wherever he was, because Paul traveled all the time. Paul would spend a couple years in this place, and then he'd go over here, and then he'd go over here. And towards the end of his life, a lot of Paul's here was in jail cells. But for Paul, his here was wherever he was. Wherever Paul was, whether it's in the Areopagus in Athens or in a cold jail cell in Rome, Paul used his here to share God's message of grace and mercy and love. And so Paul's here when he's writing this is in Athens. He's talking to them, and he says, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Well, how does Paul know that? Look at 23. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of him, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. And so as Paul talks to the men and crowd in Athens, as he shares with them, he knows what's going on in their culture because he's here. He's part of it. He's involved. He's looking around. He's seeing what's going on. When Paul would go to these cities, he wasn't just a visitor. His here was important to him. He wanted to know what was going on in the lives of the men and women whom he interacted with. Paul realized that where God had placed him, whether it was in Philippi or Colossae or Athens or Rome or any point in between, wherever God placed Paul, Paul realized that was the place where he had to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as he's in Athens, he looks around and he's learning the culture and he's learning about the people. And so he learns that so that when he engages them with the gospel, he knows about them and he can share it. Which lets us know as Christians today, as we live here in 2017, going into 2018, Lafayette, Acadiana, it reminds us that we need to know our culture so we have how to share the gospel with a culture that desperately needs it. So what is your here? Your here is simply where you are now. It's Acadiana. It's Lafayette. It's your community. It's your job or school. It's your neighborhood. It's your family. It's your here. Where you live, who you interact with, this is your here. And for some of us, we don't honestly like our here. You know, we don't like the job that we have now. And so we wake up every Monday and, man, Sunday night's just a downtime because we know Monday we have to go into work. And we don't like our here on at work. Some of us, we don't like our neighborhood. It's changed. It's not the neighborhood we moved into. We don't really like our neighbors that much. We wish we could move, and we're not happy about our here in our neighborhood. Some of us aren't happy about the school we attend. Which of us really are ever happy about the school we attend? But, you know, we wake up on Mondays, and we dread going to school, and we don't have to mess with all the stuff of school, but that's our here. You see, the thing is, you may not like your here, and eventually you may be able to change your here, but while you're here, live for the glory of God and share the gospel where Jesus has you. So you may not like your job come tomorrow morning, but while you're at that job looking for something else, while you're here at your job, be Jesus to your coworkers and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. While you're in your neighborhood, even though you may not like your neighborhood and it may not be where you want to live long term, but while you're there, interact with your neighbors, love them and serve them, and show them Jesus Christ. While you're in your schools, even though you don't want to be there and you don't want to be in your school setting, but while you're at your school, while God has you there for that period of time, you be Jesus to the students in your classes and to the teachers and the administration in your school. That is your here. And you can wish away your here all you want, but as you wish it away, you're wishing away an opportunity to be Jesus where he has planted you. You are where you are for a reason. There is a reason your here is here. There's a purpose for God putting you where you're at. And so your here is simply where you are now. And your here is going to change. You're here now, but in 5 years, your here is going to be different. Many of you in the next 5 years, you're going to have a new job. You're going to receive a promotion. You're going to be in your company, but maybe in a different office. Or we know how Lafayette is. We get families that move in all the time. They're here for 2 or 3 years, and then they move on, usually to Houston. We don't like Houston. But they move on to Houston. But they're here for that brief period of time. Our here is always changing. Students, listen to me. You've only got a lot of number of years at your school, and then you're out of school, and then you're into a new here, wishing you could go back to school because you don't like to hear where you're at. But see, our heres constantly change, so understand that while you're here, do what you can for God's glory, and 5 or 10 years, when your here has changed, wherever you're at, do what you can for the glory of God. Use your here wisely wherever God has placed you. So what is your now? Paul understood the importance of time. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul understood the importance of time and making the most of the moments. Philippians 1, we'll look at verse 18. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What a beautiful thought by Paul. Verse 22, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." And Paul here is talking about time. He knows his time is allotted. And Paul says, I'm wrestling with this because Paul, he really wants to go and be with Christ, to live as Christ is and to die as gain. And Paul knew that when he died and his now is up here on this earth, for eternity, he's going to be with Christ. And so Paul's saying, man, I understand my now, but man, I want to go be with Christ. So Paul yearns for that. But he also realizes that God's not done with him yet here and now, and he still has work to do with the church in Philippi. So that's why he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain because I still have work to do. Well, Paul, when is your work? It's now. See, Paul knew his time was allotted. This is a man who was in and out of prison. This is a man who had been persecuted and beaten for his faith. This was a man who knew the importance of each and every moment, living it for the glory of God. Paul lived a now life. For Paul, he didn't know what tomorrow held, and so he was going to live it for the glory of God. And he tells the church in Philippi, one day I will go to be with Christ, to die is gain, but as I live here, I'm living for Christ now. So watch your now. Your now is the time that you have now. Your now is the moments in which you are living. It's your years. It's your months. It's your days. It's your hours. It's your minutes. It's your seconds. It's your time now that Christ has given you. Now, time's a tricky thing. We look back on our past and we see all of our regrets and all the things we've done wrong. And it's easy to live in the past with all those regrets and pain. But I'm here to tell you, Christ Jesus died on the cross so you don't have to live with regrets and pain anymore. You can leave that at the cross and move forward and live for the glory of God. We're not called to live in the past. We're not called to live in the future because the truth is, we don't know what the future holds. A few moments ago, I said 5 years ago, you know, you're going to have a different here. 5 years from now, your here may be in eternity. We don't know what the future holds. None of us can definitively say, hey, I know in 5 years, this is what I'm going to be doing. Truthfully, if we're really honest with each other, I can't tell us what we're going to be doing in 5 minutes. Because life changes on a dime. And if you haven't been watching the news, you should realize life is precious. Life is fleeting. Our now is now. It's the breath that we take. And so if we're going to live a here and now life, we live for the glory of God here, wherever God has planted us, and we live for the glory of God now. Because as Corey said in his communion talk, life is short, eternity is not. We got now. So we can't wish our life away and we can't live in the past. And I meet so many people that tell me, well, you know, I'm going to get more focused on my spiritual life later. I want to get through college. I want to experience college. And after college, then I'll make that commitment to Christ like I know I need to make. Or, you know, let me get my kids raised. And once all that craziness dies down, then I can focus on the spiritual things of my life. I'm here to tell you, you have these moments now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Live your life here and now for the glory of God. It's all you got to live for his glory. And no one understood that better than Paul. Accepting God's love and purpose for your life here and now determines your then and later. If you live for God here and now, if you accept his incredible offer of grace and love and forgiveness through the death of Christ on the cross, then that prepares you for then and later, an eternity with him. And what I know about God and what I know what he's prepared for us in heaven, our then and later is going to be incredible, way, way a better experience than our here and now. If you think your here and now is good, you wait till your then and later. But see, we have to live here and now to enjoy the then and later. We have to accept the grace and love and forgiveness of God in our hearts and live for his glory here and now so we can experience then and later. Because you were created here and now to prepare for then and later. You weren't created by accident. You weren't created by mistake. You were created with a purpose. In the very first sermon of this series, several weeks ago, I made the following statement. You were made on purpose, with a purpose, for his purpose. You were made on purpose. None of us were a mistake. None of us were an accident. If someone's told you you were a mistake or you were an accident, you need to understand that is a lie. There isn't a single person in this auditorium this morning or listening online who was a mistake. You were created by an almighty God. You were created on purpose with a purpose. What's your purpose? To live a life that glorifies God, that brings honor and glory to your Father, the one who created you. You were created on purpose with a purpose for His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. You weren't a mistake. Your life isn't an accident. Your life doesn't have to be aimless. It doesn't have to be full of frustration and futility. You have a purpose that God has given you to live out here and now. You were created on purpose with a purpose for His purpose. I shared that sermon here several weeks ago. I actually shared it the week before at a church in Tallahassee, Florida. Many of you know that's where I did some youth ministry work, and a lot of my kids, my youth ministry, have grown up and they have their own kids now, which makes me feel really old. But the sermon I preached here, the week before I preached in Tallahassee, sometimes when I go to different places and preach, I use sermons I've used before. Sometimes I combine sermons. But I preached that morning to the Seven Hills church family in Tallahassee and preached the majority of that sermon just like I preached it here. In the audience, there's a family that's meant a lot to Misty and myself throughout the years, Mike and Karen Henson, and their daughters, Laura and Jenna, were in our youth ministry back in the mid to late 90s in Tallahassee. Laura and Jenny at the time were junior high kids. Now they've got families of their own. They're in their 30s. But Mike and Karen were there that morning, and Laura was there that morning with her husband Jamie and their two boys. And Jenna was there from Nashville, Tennessee. She was actually there. That was Labor Day weekend. She was able to come in town, so I didn't see Jenna in a number of years. So it was like a reunion time for us, and we were able to share and talk to her and meet her husband for the first time, and it was a great experience. But I preached that sermon out, and I made that statement, you are made on purpose with a purpose for His purpose. Karen messaged me on Facebook later that day and enjoyed seeing y'all, and she said, what's your mailing address? So I said, 214 Croft Road. I thought she was going to send us a Christmas card or something like that and, you know, get us on the Christmas mailing list. About a week later, this package comes in the mail, and it's a pretty large package, and I'm like, okay, this isn't a Christmas card. And what it is Mike took that quote from the sermon in his wood shop and created this plaque. You are made on purpose with a purpose for His purpose. And he said, you know, that quote just stuck with me. And he said, I made you one, and I made Laura and Jenna one for their houses so their kids could see. Because he said, you're exactly right. We're not mistakes. We're not accidents. We were made on purpose for a purpose for His purpose. And so now this sits in my office, because sometimes even in ministry, you begin to wonder, what's it all about? Is it all just futile? You know, God, are you there sometimes? It's those times of doubt and that times of frustration when you begin to ask yourself those questions. And so now when those questions arise, I can just glance over and see this there, and it reminds me, it's not a mistake. It's not an accident. That we were created on purpose, with a purpose, for His purpose, and here and now is the time we have. Because there's going to come a time when our here and now is done. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, if you look at 2 Timothy, look at chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul wraps up his second letter to Timothy. And this is near the end of Paul's life. He knows that the end is near. He knows that his time is waning. Look what he writes. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have loved His appearing. And Paul realized his now had come. And his here and now was over, and it was time to go experience there and then. And for Paul, that was a blessing. But he lived a here and now life. Each day he lived for the glory of God, knowing that his time was precious, and each place he traveled to, he lived for the glory of God. Will we do the same? Because here and now, we keep the faith, we finish the race, and we live for the glory of our awesome God. If you're here this morning, there's any way that we can help you do that, I encourage you to come forward. We are a church that believes in prayer, and maybe you're just here this morning and you just need prayers that you can be reminded continually that you are here for a purpose and that your life is not an accident or a mistake. I'm here to tell you, God loves you more than you know. He has a purpose and a reason for your life. Don't give up. Your here and now matters to him. And he wants you to enjoy then and later. If we can pray for you this morning, come forward, we'll pray for you. If you're here this morning and you realize that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your here and now. If you are convicted that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and you know you need to give your life to him, what are you waiting for? Here and now is your moment. You come and be baptized and begin that life walking with Christ today. It's a life like you've never experienced. If we can pray for you this morning, if we can enter you into the kingdom of God this morning, we would love to do that. But Riverside family, we have here and now to live. May we do it for the glory of God as we stand and as we sing.